You know, this Christian life is about knowing God through the Word, which is Jesus, and through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. God wants to have a close relationship, not just be a God far off, not just be a God that we know some things about, not be one that we think is way off there in heaven. No, He wants a close relationship with us through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. God really, He wanted to give us Himself fully. I love that. He didn't want to be a God that was all up in heaven and just saying something. He wanted us to know Him fully. So He decided to put His very self on the inside of us through the Spirit. He didn't want us to know Him just through the book. He didn't want us to know Him just through Jesus on the cross and Jesus and in heaven now. You know, Jesus actually said that it was to our advantage. Look at your neighbor and say advantage. That He depart so that He could send, the Father could send the Holy Spirit. Wow. Listen, if Jesus dying and resurrecting was all we need, if the Bible was all we need, then that would be all that we have. But Jesus said we need the Holy Spirit. He said that the Holy Spirit was going to come and He was going to be with us and He was going to dwell in us and be with us everywhere we go, never leaving us, never forsaking us. So really, we can't have a vibrant relationship with Jesus beyond how we know or how well we know the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals, He instructs, He teaches, He helps, He assists, and He shows us everything that is Jesus. He's the one that puts us in remembrance of who Jesus is, of what Jesus has said, of what Jesus has done. And the Holy Spirit is the one who shows us or who demonstrates or who manifests the kingdom of God. You know, that kingdom of glory. Come on, that kingdom of all the supernatural life. It's the Holy Spirit that demonstrates the kingdom of God, that manifests the kingdom of God and this life that we have in Jesus right now. Right now, not just later one day in heaven, but right now. Come on, say right now. Right now, I got some stuff. Come on, right now. Right now, I can partake of heaven. Come on, I can partake of the glory of God. Hallelujah. So when we're filled with the Spirit, not just sealed with the Spirit, but when we allow ourselves to go further in the Lord, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of the seal that's within us comes upon us and endues us with a power that is from on high. Come on, it's a whole nother measure. It's a whole nother level. And that's really what makes Jesus and the kingdom of God walk off the pages of your Bible and into the reality of your life. Anybody that reads the Bible and says the Bible is boring, at least the New Testament, has not yet been filled with the Spirit, or else they're not really in communion and in fellowship closely with the Spirit, because the Spirit takes those things of God that we see, that we hear, that we read about, and He makes them a reality. Come on, He brings it to life in us. Glory to God. Thank God for the Spirit-filled life. Woo-hoo! Thank God for the Spirit-filled life. We don't have to be dry. We don't have to be crusty. Come on, this life in God doesn't have to be boring. Just a bunch of rules and regulations. Instead, we get to live with the very Spirit of God Himself. We get to live with Him on the inside. For me, that's shout news. Hallelujah. Surely we love this Spirit-filled life more than a ball game, more than the Astros, come on, more than the Texans. I go to a ball game and I look around and I think, if these people only knew what I knew, how this pales in comparison to a life with God through Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now remember, like Pastor Chad said, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We might call him the Holy Ghost, one and the same. Today I'm going to mention a couple of things from Kenneth E. Hagin. He is a minister that's already in heaven, but he had a very successful life as a minister in the earth. He was given an assignment of bringing faith, the message of faith, the understanding of faith, the working of faith. Into the body of Christ. He was a word guy. He was a Holy Spirit guy. He was a faith guy, and he did it well. Amen. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says, you know, like Paul said, you can go ahead and follow after those who follow the Lord. And so there's things that we still glean from him and the ministry that he left here in the earth. This is one of the things that Brother Hagin said. He said that the world has to be taught to receive Jesus, but the church has to be taught to receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. We can say it this way, that unbelievers have to be taught to receive Jesus, but that believers have to be taught to receive the Holy Spirit. And receiving the Holy Spirit is not just a one-time something. It's not really just like salvation, where we're saved one time and that's it. As long as we don't turn away from the Lord, that's it. Salvation is one. This life with the Holy Spirit, we're ever learning, we're ever growing, we're ever progressing. Amen. It's a continually learning of him, getting teaching, understanding of him, so that we can know him, so that we can perceive him, so that we can move with him, so that we can embrace him. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible actually tells us that the world can't receive him because they don't know and they don't recognize him. But we can. So we can receive. Say, I can receive the Holy Spirit. I can receive him. You can receive him. And again, I'm not just talking about the one initial time. I'm talking about every day, every morning, every church service. We're receiving of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Because we do know him. We can recognize him. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 said this regarding the Holy Spirit and spiritual things, that we were not to be ignorant. Because if we're ignorant, we'll miss out on things. Brother Hagin also said this. He said, there is a move of the Holy Spirit that will be lost to the next generation unless they are taught to move and to flow with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So first of all, the next generation, that isn't always an age thing. It isn't always just about young people. It's about newly saved people, people that are new coming into the kingdom. He said that it was possible that a move of the Holy Spirit would be lost unless they're taught to move and to flow with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Spirit is not just an experience, a one time, and it's more than tongues. The anointing is more than tongues. Come on, there's ways to connect with the Holy Spirit, to receive of the Holy Spirit, to respond and move and yield with the Holy Spirit beyond just tongues. Really, the anointing is what opens us up to a vast realm of the kingdom of God and everything that is in it. It opens us up to the glory of God. And Brother Hagin saying this by the inspiration of the Spirit, that it was possible that things would be lost for the generation. I say, no way, not here, not now. We're going to preach it. We're going to teach it. We're going to demonstrate it so that you can have it, experience it, and live it from generation to generation. Come on, this anointing of the Spirit is for all people. It's for the children in the back. In case you don't know it, we don't just have some programs in the back. We're endeavoring to get the Word and the Spirit in those kids, speaking in tongues, praying, prophesying, healing. Absolutely. All the way through those teenage years. Come on, when the world's trying to grab them and identify with them and we're holding them firm. Listen, once they're in the Spirit, once they've spoken in tongues, once they've seen some things of God, there's always something to anchor them back. No matter what might be saying and talking to, they're like, but I've spoken in tongues and I know that that's real. Hallelujah. We're not going to let this life with the Spirit, this Spirit-filled life, pass us by. We're not going to miss anything. We want everyone in on the fullness of this life in the Holy Spirit. Power in the Holy, every move that comes. Hallelujah. You know, the Old Testament people of God, they had quite a lot of spiritual experiences with God. They had many miracles that they saw. They had signs. You remember Samson, the strength of Samson. Do you remember that? That's a sign and a wonder of the Lord. There were visions, there were dreams, there were prophecies, words that came from heaven. There was a burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. I'm talking about things with God here. There was a cloud by day and a fire by night that led the people of God. There were many healings, deliverances. We see in Judges chapter 6 that a wall fell down just from a shout of God's people. We see many giants and enemies that were slayed through the people of God. There was the glory of God. We saw God show up through the fire, through the thunder and lightnings, through the smoke and the clouds. And the people of God, they found themselves running at times. Elijah outran the chariots. That's in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 46. You should write some of these down if you're not familiar with them. My goal today is to stir up your remembrance of all the spiritual types of things that we are to be living and encountering, not just reading about in the book. It's the same Holy Ghost in the book is now in me, is now in you, is now upon us corporately. We saw Miriam sing with the song of the Lord. We saw David dance in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14 and 16. We saw people falling under the power of God, Ezekiel in chapter 1. We saw priests that were not able to stand in the temple but were overcome by the glory of God and found themselves prostrate on the floor, 2 Chronicles 5, 14. We saw Daniel, who had no strength. His strength. Have you ever been in that type of a meeting? Have you ever been in that type of a presence with the Lord where you just feel like you're nothing before the Lord? We see weeping by Jeremiah, just really throughout the whole book. Just go ahead and read the whole book of Jeremiah. He wept from beginning to end by the Spirit of the Lord. We see Isaiah in chapter 6 being undone before the Lord, not having words to be able to articulate. I had that one time on a Wednesday night. I was up here, and I don't know why we were doing music at the end, but somehow I was on the stage, and we were singing, and all of a sudden, it was very much at the end, thank God, because all of a sudden, as I opened my mouth, all I could speak was tongues. I couldn't get any English out, and I remember I was looking over. I don't remember at the time if it was Patrick or Lewis or, but whoever was on the piano, and I was trying to tell them, and they were looking at me like, oh, you know, and I'm like, shakarabisakarabakarabako. And I was trying to tell him to do something. Somebody in the meeting, somebody take over, because all I could get out was And Chaz's parents were actually in town visiting and staying at our house and in the car. I was sitting in the car and I would look at them and I'd go, I mean, I couldn't answer a question. I couldn't talk. This went on for 2 hours. I got my phone out and was trying that translation where you could type something in, and then because all I had was shut it about seated about coco ray bay bay ha. That's a manifestation of the Spirit of God. Bless my socks off. But this is what happened in the Old Testament as the Spirit of God made contact with them. As the Spirit of God came upon them. And listen, this is just a few of the many wonderful, miraculous, glorious things that happened. But in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it was prophesied that God would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. You know, in the Old Testament, it was just a few people here and there. In a moment, the Spirit would come upon a king, a priest, a prophet, so that they could say something or do something, and then it was gone. But Joel prophesied that God was going to pour out, not trickle out, not just give you a drop, But Joel said he was going to pour out. I'm talking about pouring out in the God measure of abundance and overflow. He was going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, upon all those really who would receive Jesus. And so we read about that in Acts chapter 2. Turn with me in your Bible there. Acts chapter 2. Whoa, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I might just preach it real good. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Because this, I'm just so excited about this life. I've been there. I've done that other thing. I've done that other thing in Christianity where I got saved and wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit and didn't know things of the Spirit. One time years ago, before I was filled with the Spirit, my mother had recently been filled with the Holy Spirit. And she was kind of into all this stuff. And, you know, I have a background on my mother's side of a spirit-filled life, but they all lived off, and I didn't really know that much about it. My dad's side was Baptist, and so I grew up Baptist. Praise God, I got saved when I was 10. So thankful for that. Got dunked in water. Praise the Lord. But, you know, really, I have to be honest, as I kind of went through my teenage years and my early adult years, I found myself really pretty much living kind of like the world. I mean, I knew what was right and what was wrong. I wasn't like really bad, but you know, I just would lay down at night and repent and know God and this and that, and I'm so sorry. And then I'd get up the next day and be again and just same old, same old. Same old stuff. Same old life. But my mother was really getting into this. You know, she'd gotten filled with the Spirit. Now I understand what was happening. And so Benny Hinn, y'all know Benny Hinn? This was back in the day. I think this was back in the 90s, early 90s maybe. Benny Hinn was coming to Houston, and I was living here. My mom and them were still out of town, and she decided she wanted to go see Benny Hinn. And so me and my dad said, okay, I'll take you. He wasn't spirit-filled yet either. And I said, well, I'll meet y'all over there. He was going to be at Lakewood Church back when John Osteen was around. And so I drove over there, and, you know, Benny Hinn was on that stage. And he did that thing that he did, you know, he did that thing that he does where, I mean, you know, I sensed the presence of God, but I didn't really know a lot about it, didn't really know what it was, but he did that thing like this, where the power of God just as he went, and I'm not kidding you, he started over here and he went like this. The entire auditorium fell back, boom, 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 and when he got finished, it was only me and my dad standing. Now, when his hand got to me, I kind of, but I was not familiar, so I'm like, what are these people doing? So I just stood there, I looked at my dad, he looked at me. I'm thinking, I'm Baptist, I'm Baptist, I'm Baptist, I'm Baptist, I'm Baptist. I was proud to be a Baptist too. I was very proud. As a matter of fact, when the Lord started dealing with me about getting spirit-filled, I had to really deal with that because I wasn't going to be Baptist anymore. I thought about being Baptist-costal, but that wasn't going to work. I just was either going to have to go full in. But why was that? Because I was not familiar. Remember, the Bible tells us to not be ignorant of these things, because if so, we'll miss out on stuff. But Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Glory to God. This was the birth of the church. Hallelujah. And they all got it. There was a corporate anointing. They were all in one place, kind of like we are here today. Hey, they were all unified. That's why we got to teach this and preach this, so that everyone in the room is ready at any moment, perceiving, recognizing, going after the Holy Spirit. We don't want you to be one that when the Holy Spirit stuff starts happening, you have to close your eyes. Only Aaron was allowed to do that for a very short time before he got. We don't want you to be the one exiting for the door. Come on, there's something about us being together in this Spirit-filled life. They all got it. The blessing of unity. A mighty sound was heard. I'm talking a real sound. See, when you read this, you have to understand. There was a sound. I heard John Bevere tell this story one time that he was in a place and he walked in and he walked up to the podium and the people were kind of just a little really actually disrespectful. He felt of the presence of God during praise and worship. They'd just kind of been very casual. And he said he got up on the podium and went to say something. They were all kind of talking and just doing their own thing. And he said on the inside of it grieved him by the Holy Ghost. And he said, Lord, do something with them. And he said, when he said that, there was a sound. He said it was like the sound of a freight train, like at Mach intensity, right in your ear. He said, all of a sudden, everybody just kind of went like, what is that? It was so loud and so supernatural that everybody in the building hit the ground. And the Spirit of God moved. Those things still happen today. But God is looking for a people. Hallelujah. So we see that a mighty sound was heard. The fire of God was seen. Not just felt, not just perceived, but seen. There are still visible signs of God being present. They were all filled. The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit came in that place. Came in that building and they were all filled with something. Do you know what it would be like to be filled with something? They were so filled with something that not even knowing what it was, and listen, this had never been done before. They'd never heard this. They'd never seen this. They'd never read about it. They'd never talked about it. Jesus had just said, go and tarry and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. But they were so filled that a glorious heavenly language just began to roll out of them. All of them at one time. This was life changing. This was the birth of the church, the early church. And so the early church had, and the church today, we have a better covenant with God. We don't have a lesser covenant with God. We have a better covenant. And we should still today be seeing and experiencing the supernatural, the spiritual things of God of times past, and then some. Why do I say and then some? Because the Bible says even that with the accounts of Jesus and the miracles that he did, that there were so many that it couldn't be written in the book. I'm sure that there were things that happened in manifestation of the Holy Spirit that weren't exactly recorded in the book. I'm sure that the Bible tells us really that there are still things that ear has not heard and eye has not seen, but that we're going to have to perceive them and get them and go with them by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, hey, newbies, and listen up, old timers, those who have been at this a while and mature, just because we experience something once doesn't mean that we can't or we shouldn't experience something again. We have to stay hungry for the things of God. Just because you've fallen out under the power of the Holy Spirit and been on the floor for a while doesn't mean that you don't need to be on the floor under the influence again and again and again. Just because you've been in meetings where the Holy Spirit was moving and things were going on and people were laughing and it was all people rolling and just stuff, and you're thinking, yeah, well, I got an appointment today. I need to go ahead and get home. The church was born out of a supernatural, spectacular work of God. And what did the early church experience that we actually see in the Bible? Lots of the same stuff of the Old Testament. There were demonstrations of God's glory and power, healings, deliverances, including the glory cloud rolling in, including buildings shaking under the power of God in Acts chapter 4 and Acts 16, manifestations of the Spirit, sights and sounds we just saw in Acts chapter 2. We see in the New Testament gifts of the Holy Spirit, prophecy, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits, the working of miracles, and so on and so on. We see people falling and trembling under the power of God. Paul in Acts chapter 9. We see trances where Peter entered into a trance in Acts chapter 10. We see Stephen in Acts chapter 7. His face came aglow. I remember one time Pastor Chaz and I were in Dallas, and we were there for meetings, and we went to lunch. And this waitress came by, and she was proceeding to serve us. And so we said something about Jesus. I don't remember what opened the conversation, but we were going to witness to her about Jesus. And she was standing there, and Pastor was on one side, and I was on the other side. And so she was standing there, and all of a sudden, she just went like this, and she went boom, and she to knock me over. And she sat down beside me, and she looked at me, and I looked at her. And she said, "Your face is glowing." You know what caused her to sit down and listen to something about the Lord? She got saved that day. Hallelujah. 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 In the Bible, we're told of people having dreams and visions and spiritual encounters, including with angels. There are all these same spiritual experiences and spiritual things of the Holy Spirit still alive today, still present today. The Holy Spirit's still looking for those people who are hungry. We know that the Holy Spirit manifests in different times with holy laughter. Anybody ever laughed in the Spirit? Anybody ever, lift your hands up high. Lift your hand, look at this. This is like real stuff. Boy, and after that laughter, remember, laughter's like good like medicine. Come on, just a good 5-minute laugh, ha, 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 in the Holy Ghost can change everything. We've seen people run. I remember one time I was at a meeting. Karen was actually with me at this meeting, and it was in Conroe, and I had a Sunday night off, and Brother Mark and Trina were going to be somewhere, and they had contacted us to tell us Pastor Chavez was out of town, and I thought, I'm going to go over to the meeting on Sunday night. Come on, because hungry people, that's what we do. We don't sit at home and just say, well, check off Sunday morning, check off Wednesday night. Hungry people want to see the things of God. Want to be in the atmosphere of faith and power. Want to be where the Holy Ghost can manifest. Want to be with the people of God. And we were sitting in that meeting, and boy, you know, Pastor Mark was doing his thing, and he was stirring it up real good, and I was, you know, sitting there, I was getting more excited. You know, I noticed the people were kind of like, seems like a little bit like y'all this morning, where they're kind of like this. But I learned a long time ago, I'm not looking at anybody else. I got my eyes on Jesus. I got my heart set on the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, Pastor Mark said something, and just, I didn't analyze it, I didn't know what was happening, but I felt to jump up, and when I jumped up, I kicked my foot like this, boom. As I kicked my foot, boom, my shoe flew off into the air and landed on the stage. But I didn't care, because the run came on me. And I took off running, and I was running. Well, I tell you, two things happened. Number one, I didn't even get tired, because it was in the Holy Ghost. And I felt like it wasn't me running. Listen, there's times I've been running around the building, and that's good too. Sometimes you need to go ahead and just take off and run a little bit. But then sometimes the Spirit gets on it. And what I felt like was, I felt like as I was running, I felt like my insides were in front of me. And it's like as I was running, my inside, and I was trying to catch up to my insides. And I was running so fast. Two circles I did. And then I sat down. Well, the other thing that happened is the Holy Ghost got stirred up, and people jumped up, and things started happening. And we had a move of the Spirit. When I sat down, Karen looked at me and she said, now Karen's known me, even though I'm 17. She's known me for a long time, like maybe more than 17 years. And she looked at me and she said, I've never seen you run that fast. Bless my socks off. These things are alive still today. These things are, God's just looking for a place. Sometimes you need to be broken out of your shell. Sometimes you need to come out of your natural. Listen, sometimes you people that are very quiet, you need to do something that's loud. There's times that the Lord makes me just sit in His presence very quiet and very still. Me. That for me is like a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. When I'm sitting still and I'm quiet, or like when I whisper. That's like a manifestation of the Spirit. That's like the Spirit working with, because He takes you outside of your box. Some of you that are very quiet, you need to realize that you may be quiet in the natural, but there's times you need to give a good shout. You need to jump up, pump your fist in the air. Do something that's very expressive, something that's very outward. Or you can just stay where you're at. Because what happens is, as we give ourselves over to these things, we progress in the Lord. We go further in the Lord. Again, if Jesus didn't think that we needed all this, He wouldn't have made all this possible. But these things, many times they appear out there. It's kind of like, that's really out there. Many of the supernatural things, they're very spectacular and they're unusual. And of course, these are not to be magnified more than the things that are not always spectacular. Things that are not spectacular, like salvation sometimes does not seem, is like nothing outwardly spectacular. But like on the inside, an entire life is changing. A spirit is coming alive to God. So we don't magnify the outward things or the visible things more, but everybody needs to have both. Your life is not going to be full if you're only thinking everything's going to be inward. I'm going to identify for you here in just a few minutes why you might be one of those that everything just has to be inward. But because these things are unusual, sometimes even mysterious, very unknown to our natural self, our carnal mind, we have to talk about them. Because talking about them builds our faith in them. Just like I was explaining to you about me at the Benny Hinn thing. I was not comfortable with that. I had not heard that talked about or seen that. I didn't know, understand what that was, that was the power of God. I didn't know that it's actually in the Bible. So I didn't have faith for it. We need to have faith in the supernatural, spiritual things of God. So we need to talk about it like this morning. And we need to see it. So, you know, one thing about me is I'm an absolute believer in that we preach something and God demonstrates it. He said He would confirm the word preached with signs and wonders. And so maybe this month we'll show you a few videos that will help you. That'll be fun. Ladies, we're going to do some of that tonight. You do not want to miss tonight. We are having a Holy Ghost partay tonight. But spiritual things, these supernatural things of the kingdom, they're not to be treated as commonplace. Like, oh, when that stuff starts happening, I've had enough. I just came for the word this morning. I'm going to go ahead and leave. They're not to be treated as commonplace. They're to be sought after and esteemed.
Yes, they are.
Because it's a working of God.
Yes, it is.
We should not run from them, but rather embrace them.
Yes.
All of them. They are to be desired and looked upon in amazement and wonder. Smith Wigglesworth said this, "The Holy Spirit can magnify Jesus in a way that you never could without His assistance." That's one of the reasons we have tongues, the Bible says, that when we speak in tongues sometimes, we magnify God. He's so much bigger, greater. I mean, we just don't have enough words. We don't have enough English words. Our mind can't even conceive enough to really magnify God. So we do it in tongues. But I love that. The Holy Spirit can magnify Jesus in a way that you never could without His assistance. Come on, we're talking about magnifying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great I am. He's way better than anything at a ballpark or a stadium or a concert. I say, bring it on, Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is not done. There is more. There is more. On the inside of you, you ought to be thinking, there's more, and I'm going to get it. I want it. I'm going to have it. There is still more of Him to experience, more moves, more waves, more outpourings, more infillings, more manifestations, more demonstrations. And we must have it, but to have it, we must want it. We must contend for it. It doesn't just fall because it seems like, oh, that might be a nice thing. It comes upon hungry hearts. We want all of the Holy Ghost. Brother Kenneth Hagin said this regarding a move of the Spirit. He said, we won't be scared off by fanaticism nor frozen out by formality. I refuse to let anybody in the assembly freeze me out of freely flowing with the Holy Ghost. The frozen ought to feel uncomfortable rather than those who are freely flowing. We're not scared of the frozen, but we're not going to let you be frozen for very long. We're gonna stir up the heat, put the fire of God on you. And we're not going to be scared off by fanaticism. Yes, we know there's a difference between the Spirit and the flesh. And we're all looking for the Spirit and not the flesh. But I'd rather have a little wildfire that I had to occasionally say, okay, hey, you know, let's, than no fire at all. I'd rather have something that we have to tame. And listen, I want you to know there's a difference between the Spirit and the flesh, but there is also something in there called your soul. And sometimes it's okay to let your soul go with the Lord. It's okay to stand up and shout or run or dance just because you're so excited and happy. And my soul is blessing the Lord. And this is how I'm doing it. Actually, sometimes it's that you letting something go, you giving the Spirit something to work with. It's going to be hard to laugh in the Holy Ghost if you're like this. You got to at least open your mouth and smile so that a huh could come out. I'm teaching you how to flow with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, He likes to demonstrate. This is part of what He does. It's part of who He is. And really, we can't control His demonstration. We can limit it. We can restrict it. But we can't control it in telling Him the who, the where, the when, the how. Because just about the time you sit in your seat and you say, no, I'm not into that dancing. Not into that dancing. I mean, I can shout, praise the Lord, but I'm not into that dancing. The dancing is going to be the very thing that the Holy Ghost wants to move on you, to move you out of your box. How free are you? The Holy Spirit interrupted Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 10, and Cornelius and his whole house got filled. We're not opposed to somebody interrupting the service anytime something of the Holy Ghost wants to go on. Absolutely. It's His service anyway. And you're going to get a bigger blessing by yielding and letting the Holy Spirit move than anything else that's going on. So we must make room. We must make some room. Make some room in our heart. Make some room in our mind. We have to make some room in the meetings. Because the Holy Spirit hasn't changed. On the day of Pentecost, He was just looking for a place of entry. Just looking for a place of entry. Still what He's looking for today. Just a place to enter. Just somebody that'll say, hey, Holy Spirit, land on me. Glory to God. Just those who see the value of a few moments or some long moments. We do not restrict the Holy Spirit by giving him time frame. And that's, I'll tell you, people ask me many times, why overseas? I do a lot of ministry overseas. Why overseas? It seems that we see a lot more. I mean, I've been in meetings where everybody in the entire building is either on the floor or they're dancing or they're laughing. I've been on meetings myself where I've gone out in the spirit and not even known the time frame. We've gotten so deep in the spirit. People always ask me, why? Why is there more of that over there? I'll tell you why. Because they're hungrier. Wow. They're not on such a busy schedule and this and that. And I'm coming to church and I'm just going to sit here and we're going to do this and this and this and this. No, no, no. We're going to do whatever the Holy Ghost wants to do. So we are talking, of course, about the God, the third person of the Godhead. You know, the one that was there and moved in creation. You know, the one that was there and raised Jesus from the dead. Come on, can we value a few moments with the Holy Spirit, under the influence of the Holy Spirit? Where the Holy Spirit is having reign, what if he might want to raise you up into something? Oh, you're waiting for a three-point message. And a good amen. Listen, I'm all for a good message. That's part of the Holy Ghost when he's in it. But that's not just all he does. There have been times I've gone into places. I remember the very first time I had a healing meeting. I wasn't planning on having a healing meeting. And I had prepared a really great message with the Spirit of God. And as I was driving down in the car, the Lord said, as you stretch forth your hand today, I'm going to heal people. And I was like, what? Where's that going to come in the message? I was a new preacher. And I got up in the pulpit and I said my first line. And then I went like this. And there was a man sitting right there on the edge of the thing. And I said, sir, I perceive there's something wrong in your body. Stand up. This was not in my notes. And he stood up, and actually the story is he stood up and I asked him to move to the side. And when he moved to the side, I went like this. And but I didn't touch him. I went like this and he flew back. I was like, oh, no catcher. I was like, oh my, my. And we just went from there. I never got another sentence in my message in that day. Probably, but the Holy Spirit moved and people got healed. His story was that he had a pinched nerve in his back for so bad, in his sciatic nerve. He'd been to the doctors. He'd been for prayer. He couldn't, just all of it. It was so painful. He almost wasn't at church that day. But he was sitting on the end. And I think my opening sentence was that God was a God of miracles. And he said, when I said that, he said, I said inside me, God, if that's really true, then I wish you would heal me today. And not 2 seconds later did I ask him to stand up. And when he went down without me touching him, without me saying anything, the work of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of God through the Holy Spirit, he got up totally well. He can just do a whole lot more. The Holy Ghost can do a whole lot more for you than anything else that you're thinking. But we can't sit and pick and choose. We can't pick and choose what we like and what we don't like and what we're going to participate in. Listen, you're going to get the blessing from participating. And one thing I've learned about service and that I do is you participate from beginning to end. I mean, when you come in and the singing is going, you sing. Come on, when the visiting is going, you visit. Come on, when the giving is happening, you give something. When the preaching is going, you're amening and shouting. But actually, one time the Lord was talking to me about revival. How many of you would like revival? I believe that we, the church, is not supposed to have revivals that blow in and blow out. I'm not looking for a visitation. I'm looking for a habitation. I believe we can have that. I read a story one time about a church in Louisiana that no one knew. And they were in revival for 14 years. But you know where revival starts with me, and revival starts with you right there on the inside. We really shouldn't have to come to church all the time and wait to be stirred up. We should be stirred up and filled up. So when we walk in the door, it's like revival is here. We might have to start segregating the church by the revival section and the non-revival, the frozen section. That might put a little spiritual pressure on us. I was in a meeting recently where one of the ministers, the main ministers of one of the meeting, got so drunk in the spirit, he slid out of his chair and he was rolling. Everybody's rolling. I mean, he didn't roll once or twice. He was rolling. And then he'd rolling. I mean, he was just rolling. And I was thinking, there's no telling what kind of stuff might be rolling off of him or rolling on to him. But in talking about revival one time, the Lord, for several years actually, was telling me what he called conditions conducive to revival. In other words, this type atmosphere, this type mentality, this type hunger, these things make it more free for the Lord to move in revival-like type atmosphere. And one of the things was this. He said the church must fully embrace all aspects of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. All aspects. Not just some. I like the preaching and the teaching, but that other stuff, not so much. I like the singing, but I don't want to run, or I don't want to dance. I don't want to roll. This is the analogy that the Lord gave me. I'm going to use you, Pastor Chaz. Can I use you, Pastor Chaz? Pastor Chaz, you're going to be the Holy Spirit of God. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You're going to be the Holy Spirit. Face me, please, Holy Spirit, because I love the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to be the people. And so you're going to be the Holy Spirit, and you're going to do like this, like you're offering something. And so remember, the Lord said that we're to embrace. And so this is, we consider it. That's how we consider, go ahead and the Holy Spirit's offering something. Amen. That is not what the word embrace means. Do it again, Pastor. This. Grab all of it. Take all of the Holy Spirit. Take every measure, every portion, every, wrap yourself around everything that's in Him. Glory to God. Glory! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Come on, I feel like there's something. Just do whatever something feels like to you. Just stand up and do whatever feels like. to you. You ought to do something that's out of your box. Ha ha. Come on, don't be so dignified. He's worthy to be praised. Of the ministry of the Spirit. One is that He moves through administrations like teaching and preaching. Absolutely, the Holy Ghost can be in the teaching and the preaching and should be in the teaching and the preaching. But what I've learned as a preacher, you teach and you preach if the anointing is there. But when the anointing lifts off of your mouth, you look for where did it go? Did it go to my hands? Did it go to a prayer?
We want
the glory.
The glory.
We want the glory. The Spirit moves with works like healing and delivering. I'm just giving a few examples of these. He moves by the gifts like prophecy or tongues and interpretation. He moves through expressions like laughing and dancing and running and shouting and rolling and falling and trembling. Yes. I've seen travailing prayer hit a crowd and everybody fall to their knees. I've seen the glory clouds come upon. One time I was in a Brother Hagin meeting and I was sitting in my chair and all of a sudden I felt something coming from the back. And the minute it touched my head, I knew it was the glory cloud. And it just pushed me all the way down in my seat until eventually I was just like in a stupor. I don't know how to explain it. I was in a meeting one time overseas where we got into something of the Lord. My gosh, it was just like there was so much power there that literally the building shook. The building shook. We thought it was an earthquake at first. The building shook. You know, like in Acts chapter 4? You know, like in Acts 16? Those things can still happen today. But we're not sitting back waiting on them to happen. We're opening ourselves up to the Spirit of the Lord. You know, the Spirit can move through music, absolutely, and it can move without music. American church. Because we've used music as a crutch. But no matter how the Spirit is moving, we must embrace Him. I mean, when something starts happening, we're just like not looking around. What is that? What does that mean? No, just go with it. Just go with it. I mean, if nothing else, if it's not going to get on you, just be really excited for those that it's on and laugh with them and cheer them and love what's happening. This is not the time to be pulling back. Listen, we're getting closer and closer to the return of the Lord. We're supposed to be gathering together more. We're supposed to be hungrier than ever. We're supposed to be looking to the Lord, embracing all that God is. Listen, we're supposed to be what the world needs that they don't know that they need. I don't want the world coming in here and it feeling like something they know. This shouldn't feel like something they know. The music shouldn't feel like something they know. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, don't quench the Spirit. And we're not going to always understand it. We're not going to be comfortable with it sometime. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. One time I was, I actually had this happen, and I can't remember exactly where it was when it happened. I remember one time I did it here at the church, but I would get up to preach, and all of a sudden I would feel this, from within me, this thing to weep. And at first, I was really unfamiliar with that. I know there's a weeping by the Spirit, but I'm also very much aware of the corporate assembly. And so I would have this something, and I would stand here at the pulpit, and I would think, oh, wait a minute. You know, what are the people that don't know about weeping? What I would let my head talk me out of what I was sensing in my spirit, and I would kind of push it down. Well, this went on like two or three times, I don't know. And then I was in... I think I was in South Africa, actually, and I was praying one day, and I was getting ready to do, I knew it was going to be a Holy Ghost meeting, I knew it by the Lord, and the Lord said to me, stop quenching the Spirit. See, still when I hear that, it's like the last thing I would want to do is grieve the Spirit or quench the Spirit. To quench means to resist or to stop. I had no idea I was quenching the Spirit. I was like, Lord, please tell me what is it. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. What is it, Lord? And He reminded me of those times that I had a sense to weep. See, I had this other thing I was dealing with because I'm a woman preacher and because a lot of people don't really know the Scriptures and don't really understand things well. They don't believe in women preachers. And so, you know, women, quote the tag, women being emotional. And so I'm standing up here thinking I'm in a room full of a bunch of men. What are they going to think if the woman preacher bows her head and starts crying? See, listen, your head will reason you out of all kinds of things. That sounded like a really kind of a good spiritual thing to think of, right? But the Lord said I was quenching the Spirit. And so the very next time, I don't remember how much later it was, but I was in Kenya and I got up to preach. And as I stood up to the pulpit, I had that thing. And then the words of the Lord came to me, don't quench the Spirit. And I said, that's it. I'm going to go with it. And it was, you know, men and women all over the place, packed house. And I just put my head down and I just wept by the Spirit. I just wept. And I don't know how long I wept. I wasn't like trying. You know, that's what you have to do. You have to get out of your mind. Don't let your thoughts come. Stay in the Spirit. Go with the Spirit. Shut everything out. I'm teaching you. And so then I began to feel it kind of to lift, and I was not sure what was going to happen. I was not sure if the people were going to be sitting there looking at me like she is crazy. What's going on with her? But I lifted my head up and I opened one eye. To prepare myself for what they might. And I tell what, you know what had happened? The Spirit of God had moved in. And every single person was on the floor. Glory. Glory to God. Thank you, And we had testimony after testimony of all kind of things that happened while people were out under the influence of the Spirit, simply because I yielded to the expression of the Spirit. And these things don't happen just corporately. These things need to happen in your own life, in your own quiet time when you're with the Lord. Absolutely. These things, they're with us all the time. You can sit down if you want to. You can stay standing up if you want to. I just now got to the meat of the message. Let's see how far I can get with this. But if we are going to embrace all of the Spirit, there are a couple things that we have to be mindful of. A couple things that we need to remember. One is that the tradition of men and the mindsets of traditional religion will nullify the power of the cross. You need to pick up the power of the cross and then give way to the fullness of Pentecost. We are word and spirit people. We must be word and spirit people. We must lose every tradition, even the tradition, family tradition. I grew up doing this and we really like that. I don't care. It needs to be by the Holy Ghost, and it needs to be by the Holy Ghost in the moment. We don't make patterns. We don't make set. It's okay to have a general flow established, but if at any moment we're ready to throw out anything. Number two, what we need to deal with many times is ourself. If we're going to embrace the Holy Spirit, we have to deal with self. Self can be a veil that keeps us from fully experiencing all that is God. We need to let our veil be torn so that we can experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He's not to be contained. We must be let him be free to express, to do whatever he wants to do. And we must be willing to be undone. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Are you willing to be undone? Isaiah was willing to be undone. Are you willing to lose all of yourself, your dignity, what people think of you, your self-consciousness? Are you willing to lose it all? Because a moment with the Godhead, a moment with the Holy Ghost is far better. It's so worth it. If you're not willing to dance because of what someone might see, what someone might think of you, are they going to think I can do it? Am I not doing it? That is self. Get it out. So I told y'all, you know, I was the Baptist girl, but I got in a situation in my life and I knew that I needed something more of God. And I wasn't sure exactly what it was, but I knew I needed something more of God. The measure that I had was not enough anymore. And so it drove me to seeking after. And when I began seeking and seeking, what I realized that what they had in the book of Acts and in the New Testament that I did not have was that full measure of the Holy Ghost. And so I began to read things and listen to things. But then I had heard that with the Holy Spirit, sometimes comes unusual things. Like you might fall down, or you might shake, or there's just no telling. I was a Baptist girl. And I was very much put together. And I had a self-image. And what people thought of me, how they looked, how I looked, how I acted, what they said about me was very, very important to me. And so I said, I'll get the Holy Spirit, but I'll get him at home, in my room, by myself. Because probably I can make it. I can do it without any weird stuff happening. But at least if something weird happens, nobody will see it. Because I had an image. See, we don't realize where we trap ourselves. We don't realize where we're limiting the Holy Spirit. And so I began, nothing was happening. You know, and so then I'd read a book and it'd say these four steps. Boom, boom, these four steps. You know, I'd do it, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening, but I want the Holy Spirit. I know I need the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit, but I don't want any of that other stuff. Just want the power of the Holy Spirit where I can hear the voice of God. God, help me with my problems, get my life. I don't want that weird stuff. So I kept seeking and Nothing was happening. So I went to visit my parents. By this time, my dad was spirit-filled. They were attending a spirit-filled church. And I went to visit my parents that weekend. And I was sitting in the chair with, and you know, in the pews with them. And then they got to the altar time, and they're like, somebody here has a problem. And you really need help with God. And I'm like, it's me. It's me. It's me. Just make the call. It's me. It's me. I couldn't wait. As soon as she said, I'm running down there. I'm running down there. And I get to the altar. It's a husband and a wife team. And the wife steps in front of me, and her eyes are closed. She knew who I was, but she didn't really know me anyway. But she knew my parents very well. But her eyes were closed. And she stepped in front of me. The church was like 1,500 people. There were people everywhere. And I was very together that day. I had my blue silk dress on. My makeup was to a T. My hair looks good. And I walked very reverently down that aisle, all put together. God is going to hear something. He's going to answer me. She steps in front of me not knowing anything. And she said, what you need is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In front of 1,500 people. And before I could think, oh no, what's going to happen? Is something going to happen? Am I going to lose my dignity right here? She went like this, and it felt, I'm not kidding you, it felt like the heavens opened and the hand of God. Whoa. And when she touched me, the Holy Ghost landed upon me. The Holy Ghost filled me. I fell backwards. I got the stammering tongues. I couldn't even articulate the words. It was so fast. Spit was flying everywhere. I was crying under the power. My mascara, that was back in the day when we didn't even have waterproof mascara. But I am just 17. Anyway, and it was rolling down my face. My hair was all like this. I had tear stains all over my dress, and I was shaking. It was the most unbecoming moment. I lost every shred of dignity I had. But I didn't care, because I encountered the Holy Spirit. I got myself out of the way. I got my inhibitions out of the way. Hallelujah. And that was it. I was so happy. I mean, I laid there forever. I don't know how long it was, but it was glorious. And I got up, and I didn't care what I looked like. I didn't care what people had to say. I really didn't. But, you know, really, to be honest, it was kind of like a big crowd. And I knew none of them knew me. I didn't even live in the city. So I instantly got plugged in. I instantly got plugged into church. I instantly started going to church, seeking after God. And I met a group of friends, met Karen. And so we went over to these people's house. And here I am. I'm thinking, I'm free. But, you know, when you get in a smaller group. And we were over at these people's house, and we were praying and just having a good time in the Lord. And somebody went to say something to me, and I instinctively thought to myself, now don't do anything weird. And they, by the Spirit of the Lord, said, you need to let your self-consciousness go. And I recognized I had another layer. See, this receiving, this being free, it's continual. So things change. We go through a season and something might shut down a little bit, or we go through a hurt and we're working to get that healed, and therefore we close off a little part. Listen, this is continual. But when they said that by the Spirit, just like in my heart went like that, and I was free. And I don't know what I did that night, but I've been free ever since, praise God. And I don't really care. I'm being honest. I don't really care who's there. I don't care what they think. I mean, I'm going to do it with the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to do something to try to, you know, I don't need people to look or people to, but I am definitely going to go with the Holy Ghost. I'm definitely not going to restrict the Holy Ghost in my life. I'm definitely going to say, no, not here today, Holy Ghost. No, I'm not going to do that. No, what will people? Listen, many times, not only do we restrict for ourselves, but we restrict others.
That's right.
You remember the story I told when I kicked my shoe and ran? How the whole building jumped up? I remember one time years ago, we were in Holy Ghost meetings here, and I was sitting on the front row, and this was the first time, you know, that a very well-known, respected preacher was here, and I was trying to sit on the front row and, you know, be very good, not call attention to myself, not be too loud, you know, just trying to, and all of a sudden, I just, like, felt something with my arm, and I'm like, shh. And then what is like that? And then I was like, it's the Holy Ghost. I mean, you know, my insides. It's like the whole, because I don't, you listen, you'll talk yourself out of something. You can't do that. When you just sense something, you got to just. And so the next time it happened, I just let my elbow go. And the Holy Ghost got on my elbow. And my elbow was going all over the place. Like I couldn't stop my elbow. And before you know, I slid out of my chair. And boom, when my bottom hit the floor, the whole place erupted. God was looking for somebody that would yield. Somebody that was willing to get undone. Somebody that was just willing to go with the flow so that he can move. Sometimes it's easier for other people to move once they see somebody else moving.
That's right.
You know, have you ever been at the ball game and like the whole crowd is standing up? And you've been sitting down and finally like, that's a better release. I mean, you didn't really feel the stand up. You really weren't that, but everybody else was standing up. So you better go ahead and get on. Well, thank God for those who are willing and free to go with the Holy Ghost. We got to be willing to get undone. This is what it's going to take. The Lord told me one time, he said, in revival, we have to get undone because there can't be any self. It's all of him. It's all of the Holy Spirit. None of us. Only less of us produces more of him. Anything of self gets in the way of the Spirit moving. Coming or sustaining something of the Spirit. Then the Lord gave me these words, being self-centered. When you're self-centered, you're thinking about yourself too much. Self-motives. Self-consciousness. I'm self-conscious, self-works, self-righteous. You know what self-righteous people say? I don't need this. I'm going to say it again. Self-righteous people say, I don't need this.
Good word.
Because the Lord did say we need it. Everything that happens today in the Christian life happens through the ministry of the Spirit. You do need it. And so if you're telling yourself you don't need it, you're self-righteous. You think that you can get what you need from God, how you, all by yourself, how you do it with yourself. It don't work that way. And I'll say it again, sometimes, just like the rich young ruler, the Lord found the one thing that was his sticking point. Yep. Sell all you have. Come follow me. Go ahead and dance today. And until you dance, there's going to be a restriction, a freedom that doesn't come, a breakthrough that doesn't happen. Until you say, I'm just going to laugh, I'm just going to throw my head back and I'm just going to laugh. I'm going to laugh at the devil. Ha ha, I'm just going to laugh. I don't care what anybody thinks, I'm going to laugh. Until you do that, you're going to stay stuck right in your same situation. You know, God does use the foolish things to confound the wise. And many times the wise is ourselves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, we got to be willing to be overtaken. There's times I've been in meetings where, man, I've gotten so drunk in the Spirit that I didn't even know anything else that was going on. I mean, I've been out on the floor for hours. I am preaching the Holy Ghost, people, right?
Yes, you are.
One term of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of liberty. You know, Paul was very joyful about the liberty that was in Christ. Really, really being free to serve God, to love God in any and every way. It's so much bigger than just showing up, sitting in my chair and giving a few amens. It's just letting God be free to be who he wants to be and to do what he wants to do and realizing the blessing that's in it. We have to be free to go with the Spirit. Listen, it's mighty in its power. It's probably supernatural, even though it doesn't look pretty, even though it's not dignified. David danced because he loved the Lord so much that he danced with all of his might. And I believe that the spirit of might came upon him. He danced so long, so hard, that his clothes fell off. We've yet to have that happen in the church, but we got drop cloths. We'd be running around them. But the Bible says his wife despised it. His wife despised it, but it was mighty. Listen, it might not be, it probably won't be comfortable on your flesh. It might not be understandable in your mind. But we've got to be willing to lose self and just get undone. To lose means to give up, to surrender. We've got to be the hosting place of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's going to require some radical Christianity, I believe, to remain these days and to be the church that we need to be for the craziness of the world that's out there. Really, the truth is they don't need something they can relate to. If you're embarrassed, if you're self-conscious when you're alone, then there's a problem. Like if you cannot get in your back room by yourself, and I mean just break out and exuberantly praise the Lord. I mean, if you can't run around your room, if you can't get on the floor, roll around, you know, pump your fist in the air, do some chicken dance and just whatever, even if it's not that the Spirit has not landed on you, but just because you're so happy, you're just so happy and thankful and joyful to be in this life with God. If you can't do that and not be embarrassed or not be ashamed or not be self-conscious, what am I looking like? You got a problem. I'm trying to help you with your problem today. You need to practice it at home, alone. And then in some small groups or the big church, I don't care, big church, wherever. But you need to be totally free where your thought is not, what are they going to think? What's going to happen? Is this? Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, we'll have to do more another time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. The Holy Ghost is my friend. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.